Blog Talk Radio.
Interesting birthdays on this date. Simon Bolivar, the guy who was the liberator of South America from Spain, and Bolivia is named after him. Alexander Dumas, you remember the Three Musketeers? He wrote that. Great writer, The Devil's Lexicon, Ambrose Bierce, his birthday. Whenever you enjoy the parks in New York, San Francisco, Frederick Law Olmsted, his birthday. And if you remember, I, Claudius, the great series was on PBS, and of course it's a DVD, Robert Graves, his birthday. And then the first woman, Aviatrix, Amelia Earhart, born in 1898. The wife, first wife of F. Scott Fitzgerald, Zelda, her birthday today. And an early academic, black civil rights advocate, Dr. Ken Clark, his birthday. First head of the EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, under the Nixon administration. We'll get back to Nixon. William Ruckelshaus. And, of course, the first Wonder Woman, Linda Carter, her birthday. Among the deaths today, Martin Van Buren was known as the Wonder of Kindernook. He was successor to Andrew Jackson from New York. Van Buren was from New York. And there's a street in Chicago named Van Buren. Montgomery Clift, great actor. He had a lot of problems with his sexual preference, drugs, alcohol. Great friend of Elizabeth Taylor. Montgomery Clift died at 45. Peter Sellers, another actor, died on this date. And famous novelist, Russian author, Isaac Bashevis Singer. Among the events today, the first black known to be granted acreage, a free black, in 1651, a guy named Anthony Jackson got 250 acres in a grant in Virginia. In 1683, the first European Germans settlers came from Germany to settle in the United States. Dr. Philip Dreisbach's family, his famous German family, settled in Pennsylvania. He was involved in trying to help, and he's also the doctor for U.S. Navy sailor Stephen Neri. This is interesting. In 1701, the French landed at the site of what is known today as Detroit. Some people are thinking that maybe the citizens of Detroit should ask Canada to annex to see if Detroit can be, since it's across the river from Windsor, Ontario, Canada, maybe can just become one big metropolitan area, that the Canadians will bail out Detroit. This is going to be very interesting. Now, also, there's two ways to cross into Canada. There's the Ambassador Bridge and the tunnel. And, of course, there's a big auto plant industry in Oshawa, Ontario, and people cross back and forth during the work week. So this is entirely within the realm of possibility. Another piece of land, although the British took it from the Spanish, in 1704 the British wrestled Gibraltar from Spain. The Spanish still want it back. And 1758, George Washington, believe this, he entered the Virginia House of Burgesses, which was like a state legislature. And in 1799, Clark, who was part of the Lewis and Clark expedition, Clark was willed a slave named York. And here's a big question about polls. In 1824, a poll was published, the first known political poll was published by a Harrisburg, Pennsylvania newspaper, and it forecast or predicted that Andrew Jackson would be elected president. In 1847, Brigham Young and his Mormons arrived at Salt Lake City, Utah. And here's another example of the latest phase of the Gutenberg Revolution. Gutenberg Revolution, in our definition, is the evolution of communication. When Gutenberg invented the printing press, he wrestled the monopoly that the monks had on handwriting books. So when the printing press came out, that destroyed the monks' and the monastery's monopoly on printing. And then, of course, we had the telephone, Alexander Graham Bell, the telegraph, the rotary type printing press was invented. So this speeded up communication, so it was faster to be able to print the printed word. In 1866, Tennessee, which was the home of Andrew Johnson, who had succeeded Lincoln at that time, Tennessee became the first Confederate state to be readmitted to the United States Union. In 1870, the first U.S. mail service went by rail. And, of course, you see these cowboy episodes of cowboys trying to rob the mail car. And, of course, these guys, as mail was picked up at each stop, and they had mail clerks in these mail cars who were sorting the mail as the train traveled. They don't do that anymore. In fact, they're talking about no more home deliveries. So it's going to change if they have their way. In 1925, Scopes, who was a teacher in Tennessee, back to Tennessee, was found guilty and was fined $100. Get this. In 1929, there was a foot marathon from New York to San Francisco. It took 2 months, and a guy named Monteverdi, 60 years old, won it. It took him 2 months to walk from New York City to San Francisco. In 1929, President Hoover and his Secretary of State, Frank Kellogg, signed the Kellogg-Briand Act, which supposedly outlawed war. 13 years later, they had World War II, or 11 years later, excuse me. And in 1937, the Alabama, which had the Scottsboro political trial, they dropped charges against five blacks because part of it was the evidence was rigged. The two women who claimed they were raped, actually, it's now come out that they were prostitutes. And, of course, the Mann Act, which was a federal law, which prosecuted women and their pimps for transporting women across state lines. There was nothing said about boys. And, of course, these two women were prostitutes, and they felt they were pressured that if they didn't testify falsely against these nine blacks, that they would be prosecuted under the Mann Act. So they were exposed to this perjury. I don't know what happened to them. And, of course, on this date, in 1955, Richard Nixon had the infamous kitchen debate with Khrushchev. And here we're going to play it just a second. Let me see. I think we've got it here. Excuse me. And where's Nixon here? Richard, where are you? Mm-hmm. Here we go. I don't know what happened here.
Hey, what?
We wish you success.
This is Uspeto.
You could show us American possibilities, and then we could say, here is what American possibilities are. How many years has America existed already? 300? 150 years of independence. Well, then, we will say America has existed 150 years, and this is her level of achievement. We have existed not quite 42 years, and 7 years from now, we will be on the same level of achievement as America. And the following years, we shall continue to surge ahead, and when we shall overtake you at the crossroads, we will greet you amiably. And after that, if you wish, we can stop and tell you, please follow us.
And for people everywhere, there must be a free exchange of ideas. There are some instances where you may be ahead of us. For example, in the development of the thrust of your rockets for the investigation of outer space. There may be some instances, for example, color television, where we're ahead of you. But in order for both of us,
in what are they ahead of us? Wrong. We are ahead of you in rockets as well as in this technique. I do not capitulate.
Where do you see the picture? Это я вам фору вперед даю.
You must not be afraid of ideas.
That's what we're telling you. Don't be afraid of ideas. We have nothing to fear. The time has passed when ideas scared us.
We are not afraid of ideas.
Well, then let's have more exchange of them. We all agree on that, right? But what I mean is this. Here you can see the type of tape which will transmit this very conversation immediately. And this indicates the possibilities of increasing communication. And this increase in communication will teach us some things, and it will teach you some things too. Because after all, you don't know everything.
If I don't know everything, then I would say that you know absolutely nothing about communism, nothing except fear of it.
Every word that you have said has been taken down, and I will promise you that every word that you have said will be reported in the United States, and they will see you say it on television.
I doubt it. That's why I want you, the Vice President, to give your word that my speech will be recorded in the English language.
Telecast over TV.
Would it?
It will be, yes.
Certainly it will. Certainly.
Ms. Warner.
Right. And with the same token, everything that I say will be recorded and translated and will be carried all over the Soviet Union. That's a fair bargain.
Now, also on this date, Nixon got, there was some criticisms about Nixon, who was a guest at the American in Moscow, and where the American Exposition, part of the American this exhibition, there was a kitchen. It's known as the famous or infamous kitchen debate. Also on this date, in 1948, so we forgot this, the Soviets under Stalin started to blockade Berlin, and of course we outsmarted them by flying in all the supplies of coal and food and fuel. 1961, the first U.S. jet was hijacked to Cuba. Isn't that interesting? We're back to Cuba. And in 1967 was the anniversary, the 100th anniversary of Canada's Confederation. That meant In 1867, after the American Civil War, the Canadians got together because they felt a resurgent North would be marching up north to take Canada back out of the British English possessions. And, of course, there was no Commonwealth at that time. So Sir John Macdonald and a guy named Wilfrid Laurier got together at Newfoundland, and they got the few provinces to agree to Confederation. And Macdonald, I think, was the first Prime Minister of Canada. Anyway, in 1967, Canada threw a big party, Expo 67. And Charles de Gaulle came, part of Quebec. He came as a guest, and he was President of France. And he went to the Quebec City, I think it was Quebec or Montreal, City Hall. And up in the balcony, he made this infamous controversial speech, Quebec Libre, and here is part of it.
The beginning, both of the emotional buildup that may have burgeoned into tonight's storm and the other emotional buildup that has provoked so much resentment in people who are torn between genuine admiration for a great man and genuine distress at what he's saying. Here again, the scene at the Montreal City Hall.
Outre cela, j'ai constaté.
All the way along my long drive, the general is saying, I have noticed the bonds of affection in
me. Vous accomplissez.
The wonderful welcome you've given me.
Vous accomplissez ici. Et c'est à Montréal qu'il faut que je le dise. Parce que...
Praise also for what the city of Montreal
parce
is accomplishing.
Parce que c'est là au monde. Une ville exemplaire par ses réussites modernes, c'est la vôtre. Je dis,
this is not a simultaneous translation.
Je dis, c'est la vôtre, et je me permets d'ajouter, c'est la nôtre.
Bernard Gould said. I hope I'm doing it accurately.
Si vous saviez... Quelle confiance la France réveillée après d'immenses épreuves porte maintenant vers vous. Si vous saviez,
if you
si vous saviez
knew how much France is conscious of what you are doing here in Quebec.
Pour les Français du Canada.
And the friendship and love of the French of France,
et
the French
si
of Canada.
À quel point elles se sentent obligées de concourir à votre marche en avant, à votre progrès. C'est pourquoi elle a conclu avec le gouvernement du Québec, avec celui de mon ami.
It's because of your progress, because of your march ahead, but our government is cooperating with the government of Quebec.
Pour que les Français de part et d'autre de l'Atlantique travaillent ensemble à une même œuvre française.
Let us work together to solve some of the same problems.
Et d'ailleurs, le concours que la France va tous les jours un peu plus prêter ici. Elle sait bien que vous le lui rendrez parce que vous êtes en train de vous constituer des élites, des usines, des entreprises, des laboratoires qui feront l'étonnement de tous et qui, un jour, j'en suis sûr, vous permettront d'aider la France.
Always the cheers. The emotional pull of France, especially France personified by General de Gaulle, has been very strong during this visit.
En ajoutant que j'emporte de cette réunion inouïe de Montréal un souvenir inoubliable.
Yes.
La France entière sait, voit, entend ce qui se passe ici. Et je puis vous dire qu'elle en vaudra mieux. Vive Montréal. Vive le Québec.
And here are the controversial words.
Vive le Québec libre.
And listen to the shout. Québec libre, the separatist slogan. Long live French Canada and long live France.
Of Canada, Lester Pearson, was a UN, was an international diplomat. The Canadians are normally placid. Of course, Expo 67 was featured in Montreal. We were there. And of course, the Canadian government was really pissed off at De Gaulle, and he had to hightail it back to France. Now, he had a habit. Prior to that, he had gone to Algeria when the height of the Algerian War, and France was losing that. So he went, I think it was Algiers, the city hall there. And he said to the crowd, I understand you, I hear you, I understand you. But they misinterpreted that to think, I'm going to give you, keep Algeria French. So De Gaulle was pretty cagey, but I guess he was losing his touch because a year later, in May of 1968, they had the student revolt in Paris, and then it spread throughout France. And De Gaulle said, I've had enough, I'm resigning. And he resigned from the French presidency and retired to his home in Colombo, I think, and he quietly lived out the remainder of his life there. But very interesting, De Gaulle, probably the last great Frenchman. Among the other things that happened on this date, in 1974, the Supreme Court, SCOTUS as it's known, unanimously ruled that President Nixon at that time had to turn over the Watergate tapes to Judge John Sirica of the federal courts are investigating. And this is relevant to us. In 1986, the Walker family, the John Walker family Soviet spy scandal, these were all Navy people. The guy who was Jerry Whitworth, who was taking money and turning over documents to John Walker, who was selling them to the Soviets, he was convicted. And, of course, this case is very much related to this guy Bradley Manning, although Bradley Manning's motivations seem to be more homosexual. He was angry because he could not get a transgendered operation, became a gay activist, and he is the poster boy like Matthew Shepard for this agenda. And, of course, there are a lot of people, if he had been in Russia, he would have gone to the Lubyanka prison and he got a bullet in the back of his head. So that's where that's at. Now, among the interesting other birthdays this week, we had a problem Wednesday. It was Gregor Mendel. He was an Austrian monk who was the father of Heredity. And this is relevant to George Zimmerman. They tried to accuse Jesse Jackson, Sharpton, Willie Brown, Amos Brown, all these clowns, political flotsam, tried to accuse George Zimmerman of being racist. Well, George Zimmerman's grandfather was black. He was African extraction who lived in Peru, and there's a picture of the grandfather. He's as black as coal. And, of course, you can see it with George Zimmerman. It's very interesting. So this is one of the things that failed. And, of course, now we have the St. Trayvon movement. Even a priest has gotten involved in how foolish these people are. Also, people are very concerned about the bicycle non-accountability and the mayhem and the people they injure and kill by their reckless driving. of their riding of their bicycles or driving their bicycles. Now, bicycles, if they are on the road, they come under the rules of the road all across the country. And we have this situation here in San Francisco where this guy Boucheret, some arrogant yuppie, sped through a red light and ran down and killed a senior citizen. Now, people are upset that he was not sent to prison under a manslaughter, but was given 1,000 hours of community service. Now, what that means is going to be very interesting. During this whole bicycle agenda, it's out of control. These people have representation without paying anything or without taxation. They don't pay for parking meters. They don't pay for these special lanes. They don't pay for these bicycle racks. They block traffic. In New York, there's a growing reaction against these bicyclists who block garbage can pickup, block sidewalks, who don't obey the rules of the road. And I understand that bicycle tires are being punctured, slashed. It's just a matter of time before we start to see bicyclists who are arrogant and who violate the rules of the road, that the pedestrians are going to whack them. It's already happened here in San Francisco. They're very insulting. There are too few polite bicyclists who obey the rules of the road. But there are a couple also who realize they've got to carry camcorders to protect themselves. That's a legitimate concern, because there are crazy motorists who will try to injure or kill bicyclists, even if the bicyclist is within that person's rights in the proper lane, obeying the rules, stopping at stoplights, and stopping at stop signs. But we've got too many of these arrogant asses who think they have special rights, privileges, and exemptions. And when they cause an injury or kill somebody, it's the taxpayer picks up the tab for police, fire, and any other services, municipal services that are required to respond to the situation which they, these reckless, arrogant bicycles, have caused. We have got over 200 YouTube video e-magazines up there. The latest is this arrogant French yuppie, Florence Jolif, who parked her big SUV Volvo, which was twice the weight of a small SUV, which was parked legally by a senior citizen. She parks blocking in a handicap, blocking the sidewalk access for handicapped people and illegally parking. And she parked her big Volvo on this guy's tire. And you can see it on our Amicus Veritas YouTube site. Then when he tried to hold her accountable, she just tried to take off. There was a verbal confrontation. The police were called. And when they asked for her identification, she gave them the address of the Oakland Coliseum. You don't live in the Oakland Coliseum. So this is how arrogant these people are. And this is this French woman. Then we have this African. You can see him on driving a BMW SUV, and he wanted to park in a space that he couldn't park in because he didn't have a bumper, and the vehicle he was trying to space he was trying to get in would have caused damage to his bumper or whoever owned that vehicle. So he threatened to get his gun and come and F the American up because the American wouldn't let him in there. So this is what's going on, this whole racket. So I tell people, if you're coming to San Francisco, don't wear flowers in your head, hair. Wear a crash helmet. Make sure you have a working cell phone and a working camcorder, because you are at risk. The laws are not enforced because of this political clout that these clowns have, and you've got to protect yourself. Ignorance is not bliss. What you don't know can hurt, harm, and cost you, and it's already happened. So we'll end, and we'll be back Friday, and we've got a couple of interviews lined up, one with a lawyer, tentatively, who advises people on how they can represent themselves when they don't have the money to get a lawyer, or a lawyer will not take their case. So, and then we have an interview coming up with Pat Butler. So we'll end with politics and poker and go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AmicusVeritas YouTube.
Say, Ben, want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you
going to
do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too.
Hit me with a
Gentlemen.
here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big Ace.
Ace Betts.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where's the clown?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush, nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one, I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, bat out.
Politics and poker, politics and poker, shuffle up and toss and find the joker. He's a game for children, he's a game is rough. Decisions, decisions, like
who to pick,
how to play, how to bet,
where to call the bluff.
All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Paraphrase.